Hello everyone. Hello, I'm George from Ireland. This is a remake of a video from a couple of days ago when somehow I was muted. I don't know how I managed that. About the Gorton and Denton by-election due in about 3 weeks' time, and I'm calling it for Reform United Kingdom. I initially thought that Labour would narrowly hang on. I saw an opinion poll showing Reform UK slightly ahead. Obviously, opinion polls are not an exact science. They tend to overrate Labour. But I thought, you know, this is such strong Labour territory. Reform UK, you can't really tell with them because they're such a new party and so forth. It was so hard to say. There was such a big round to make up since the general election. I still thought Labour would hang on. But everything that's happened in the last week has convinced me that that's not the case. The whole Peter Mandelson affair, this file dump of thousands of files showing just how intimate Peter Mandelson was with Jeffrey Epstein, and the fact that Mandelson, despite being dismissed twice in the cabinet in disgrace, was brought back into the heart of government as ambassador to the United States by Keir Starmer, is really damaging to Labour's brand. Labour's all about, oh, we're totally against paedophilia, have a crusade against this. And yet that they knew that Peter Mandelson was bosom buddies with Epstein after Epstein's conviction for sexual abuse of a 15-year-old and so on. So Keir Starmer was warned about this. He was advised not to appoint him, including Angela Rayner as deputy prime minister. But actually, and obviously Rayner's trying to become prime minister herself, collective ministerial responsibility. I know she's totally uneducated, but she should look up Badgett, right? She's as responsible for this as Starmer is. All ministers are responsible for all government departmental decisions, even if it's not her department, and so on. So that's why, knowing some of this stuff, Starmer appointed Peter Mandelson anyway. In fairness to Starmer, there's a lot of that nobody knew has only come out in the last few days. So it's looking terrible for him. And obviously there's speculation about his leadership. So, I mean, everybody knows Starmer's a dead man walking. Morgan McSweeney's resignation and the director of communications resignation, that has delayed Starmer's departure. Put it this way, I don't know of a single person who thinks that Starmer's position is secure or that he's got a long-term future. I wouldn't be shocked if he resigned today as leader of the Labour Party. I don't think he will. I give it quite a low chance, like 5%. If he's still there at the end of the week, he'll likely be there at the end of the month. If he's there in February, very likely he'll be there till just the day after the general, after the sort of local elections, after this Wales, Scotland, England elections, Thursday, the 7th of May. But the one thing is, I remember with Liz Truss, once it becomes patent that a prime minister is doomed, he or she goes quickly. You can only stumble on for so long. I mean, remember Starmer said a week ago that he would lead Labour into the next election. Well, ha, ha, ha. If you ever thought he's an honest man, think of that blatant lie. You can say many, many bad things about Starmer, but he's not thick. Even his most inveterate foe would not say he's dim. He's a highly intelligent man, so he knows that's not true. And was it unfair that he scapegoated Morgan McSweeney? McSweeney gave him the advice, but Starmer chose to follow that advice. He was free to reject it. He had contradictory advice, and he chose that. He's supposed to be someone who's circumspect. So there we go. So he's tainted for all sorts of reasons. I mean, there was the financial skullduggery of Peter M. Mandelson. Now, okay, we didn't know that he was effectively Epstein's spy. Epstein was paying him a £4,000 a month retainer, and this is around about 2008, not to Mandelson himself, but to his Brazilian lover. I forget the guy's name. Was it Raimundo da Silva, something like that? And so that's why they're going to lose. This goes down really badly in northwest England. Now, what would have helped Labour is the Greens haven't selected their leader, Zach Polanski, as their candidate. They've got someone who's less well known. And if they'd gone all guns blazing for it, you know, the Greens might have got it. If Labour had selected Andy Burnham, they would have kept it. Even if they lost, they wouldn't have lost by as much. And so we know that Reform United Kingdom, they're gonna bet the bank on this one. They put Matthew Goodwin there. Matt Goodwin, an academic, they're probably the only Reform UK academic ever, but he's a major on GB News. And name recognition matters. There's visibility. So some people will know who he is from watching The Box. Okay, so they're going out for all out for this. He's young. He's not too young. He's good looking, blah, blah, blah. And he's studied how far right parties do well. Not that Reform UK is a far-right party, it's often accused of it. Now, there has been a stumble from Reform UK, shows how inexperienced they are, publishing these leaflets without saying paid for and promoted by Reform United Kingdom, something like that. And now Starmer's not campaigning there. There's a convention whereby prime ministers don't campaign in elections. It's not a law. Blair campaigned in the Edisbury by-election in 1999, which Labour failed to gain from the Conservatives. The Tories narrowly held the seat in the Midlands when Sir Alastair Goodlad, a Conservative MP, decided to enter the Chiltern Hundreds because he was going to go off to become High Commissioner to Australia. So Blair thought, well, there's no such thing as a no-go area for New Labour. So call it New Labour, and those ideas that he's going to park his tax on the Conservatives' lawn didn't quite work out. But Starmer doesn't need yet another humiliation to be personally associated with this decision. And, you know, Northwest England is very strong territory for Labour, especially a suburban area, well, you know, Greater Manchester. And Gorton and Denton, part of it used to be Manchester Gorton, the seat of Gerald Kaufman, one of the last respectable Labour MPs, a Jewish MP from a Zionist household who spoke up for human rights for the Palestinians and so on. So, okay, one seat out of 650 does not make a big difference, but it's part of a general narrative of Labour coming apart at the seams. So how much longer can they stumble on? That is the question. So everybody knows that his days are numbered. Okay, he is doomed, but who else? That is the thing that's saving him for the moment. So obviously, if he tenders his resignation as leader of the Labour Party, he'll have to stay on in a caretaker capacity until such time as a new leader is selected. Or he could not, and the deputy leader, Lucy Powell, lead the Labour Party in the interim, stay on as Prime Minister until a new chosen one is so chosen. If he chose to resign immediately, they're up to the King, and presumably the King would say, well, I have to go appoint David Lammy. There's no such post as acting Prime Minister. You're the Prime Minister, you're not. Now, David Lammy could then turn into, you know, stay there long term or not. But actually, Lammy doesn't have much of a following the Labour Party. He's not talked about as a serious contender for the premiership. Goodness. So yeah, it really is dreadful. What a gross error of judgment. So he's injudicious when he's meant to be someone who's circumspect, who takes soundings and things like that. That he appointed Peter Mandelson. Peter Mandelson obviously was privy to a lot of intelligence information. And we know that he was a spy for Epstein because, of course, ambassador to the United States is a Five Eyes relationship. All intelligence gathered by the United Kingdom, United States, New Zealand, Australia, and Canada is shared since the end of the Second World War. There are those in Langley, the CIA HQ, who argue this is an unequal bargain, that the US has got very long ears, but the others do not, and they receive far less than they give. But nevertheless, it is maintained for the moment, and probably they don't actually completely honour it. And they spy on each other, but not very intensely, because they're not enemies. So was he leaking this sort of stuff? And people say, was Jeffrey Epstein a spy for Hamasad, or indeed for the SVR, the Ruskis, and so on? I don't know. But obviously, Mandelson belongs in prison for misconduct in a public office, for espionage, for breach of the Official Secrets Act, is utterly shameful and despicable and completely unsurprising, I'm afraid. Well, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecarlin792@gmail.com. Goodbye.